Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Footy Finals edition of Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Fee Newton, and we have back off the bench, fresh from a very long extended bye round of around about 4 weeks, is Moddy.
Hello, hello.
And Beck Dahl.
I have zero finals fever.
You...
Oh, bring it down. We've got a whole hour and you just brought it down.
Give me some, Moddy. Give me the fever.
Moddy and I aren't in the finals anymore either. Well, I am actually for VFL and VFLW, which we're going to talk about tonight.
Give them one final. They're back to being arrogant all the time again.
Smug, smug, smug.
Do you know what? No, I'll save it.
Save it for the dinner table. Save it for off-air, maybe. But speaking of which, though, we are going to be talking with Emma Mackey, who's the captain of the Hawks VFLW team. They're going to be playing in the grand final this Sunday against Geelong. And to balance things out, we're going to talk to Kate Darby from Geelong VFLW about the grand final as well.
Balanced. Bipartisan.
I tell you what, these two teams have a long history of...
Oh, do you think they're going to? Someone's going to come off centre half back and flatten...
Someone's going to break a rib, keep playing.
Mark Yates, Dermot Brereton style.
Yeah.
That might happen.
That could happen. And I would hope that they would just keep playing no matter how many ribs are hanging out.
Maybe we'll ask the girls about that.
I was nursing, I used to be a nurse, and I was nursing on that day when Dipper came in.
No.
Yeah, after the game. And then the word, I was in emergency, and then the word goes around, oh, Dipper's here, blah, 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 they've won. And then someone says... You do know that he broke his ribs and punctured his lung in whatever it was, the first quarter or whenever that was, and played the game.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And Dermy did a similar thing. Yeah,
even the nurses and staff were going, I don't know how he did it, because that is a punctured lung.
Yeah. You can't actually breathe. So we'll be talking about all that. Of course, the semi-finals were last weekend.
Gosh. Yeah.
Well, if you're Mason Cox, you don't understand what a semi-final or a prelim final is.
He's hilarious.
Very confused.
I'm confused because I think the names are odd. I would have thought you'd have, you know, like in tennis, you'd have semi-finals the one before the grand final.
Yeah.
No, backwards.
We've just made up our own
qualifying
games. Mm-hmm. We're of course going to have our dinner table chat.
Bring a dish.
We've all got a dish. We've got entree, main and dessert and lots to talk about there. If you've got something you want to contribute to the dinner table, of course, you can text in 0427 Joy 949. If you can't figure out your keyboard, it's 0427 569 949.
Thank you, Fiona, staring at me while she said that.
No reason, Moddy, no reason. And or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Or just walking off Bourke Street.
Wow. Yeah.
Come up and have a chat. We, of course, look ahead to the prelims. And the Brownlow's coming up on Monday night. What are we going to do?
Who's frocking up?
Oh, probably just me at home by myself.
What will you do? Will you do your normal coon and what is the other thing you have? Cabana and stuff?
Cabana, a bit of coon cheese cut into a block and a bit of pate perhaps because I'm fancy
pate.
Like that.
Maybe we can come over and you can make us toasties.
Oh, yeah,
we have pies.
Oh, like the mini pies.
We have party pies, me and my dad and my brother. Whenever we watch the footy over at somewhere at his house, dad's house or wherever. Pies.
Mm. Last year, Rachel and Katie Purvis went down to the Brownlows.
Yes.
Interviewed everybody.
We didn't get invited this year.
Oh, we can get invited. I know people that know people.
I've got my platter.
You've got your I'm going to watch it. Oh, my brother doesn't know yet, but I'm going to go and watch it with him.
Oh, nice.
And big trade news as well. We'll talk about all of that. We have a message already.
Oh, that's nice.
Says, glad to hear your voices again, Marky Mark and his cub, John.
Oh, that's nice. No. I haven't been away, Marky Mark, but, you know, good to
hear
the others
back. Thank you, Marky Mark. He's clearly talking to me.
Yeah. He's talking to you, Moddy. I've been away a bit here and there too.
Well, someone's got to hold this team together.
Mine was actually a self-imposed exile to the Europes. So,
were you getting Lars surgery or something?
No, just hanging around.
She was eating fine cheeses in Italy.
Yeah, I was just in, you know, dos rosé, por favor. There was a lot of that.
You're like James Heard when dos he rosé.
That's all Claire and I could say in Spanish. Dos rosé, por favor.
I can also say, hang on, there it is. Donde está el baño, which is where's the toilet.
See, I can't say, probably it's dos rosado, por favor.
Mm. Wow, this show got fancy quickly.
We went from AFL finals to speaking Spanish. Yeah. Anyway, let's have a look at the finals that were, the semi-finals.
Well, let's, Faye.
Last week,
let me read that out. Hang on a sec.
Oh, do it.
Hawthorn 71, Melbourne 104.
Yeah.
So that means Hawthorn lost?
Yeah, I believe so.
This is correct. Actually, I watched that game with Danae, completely out of surprise. Danae was visiting from WA, WA correspondent and founding pioneer, one of the founding pioneers of the Chicks Talking Footy show. And she just messaged me and it turned out we were sitting in the same bay. So we ended
up... That's crazy.
I know, watching the game together. We were literally second last row from the top of the MCG.
We both bought
our tickets like an hour before the game.
I saw that photo. So I saw 10 minutes of that game in the interest of transparency, that is the only 10 minutes of a game I've seen for 4 weeks.
So you can interview us about what's been
going on. Yeah, I was on the top deck of a London bus showing off. But I was trying to get the AFL Live app going and it started going, so I'm just watching, 10 minutes.
On your phone.
Mm.
I have to say it was quite unenjoyable to watch as a Hawks supporter. I just did not feel that we were in the second half, just didn't feel like we were in it.
There was about five minutes in the last quarter.
Yeah, and then it was gone.
What was the problem, Fiona?
I think, we did have significant injuries, like Stratton was out, O'Meara was out.
Yeah, that's true.
And then our usuals like Birchall and whatever. So we didn't have our defence, basically.
And Luke, I can't kick a goal, Bruce'd.
Yeah, that's not good. What's
and Burgon and Bruce missed really close goals.
Well, I mean, Bruce'd the week before didn't kick a goal.
No, there's 2 weeks of finals. He hasn't played that well, has he?
Yeah, it was like, for me, it was like a replica of the Richmond game and the Melbourne game. Just like, second half, we weren't there.
Playing. Well, I read a sentence today which I think summed it up. Hawthorn has long been associated with composure and surety, especially on the biggest of stages, but that was not the case on Friday night.
It is true.
And I think that says it really well. Hawthorn are one of those teams, a bit like Sydney, who have proven themselves not to be this year, but they're kind of, you think they're finals teams, they know how to play finals. Not so much as it happens.
Well, yeah.
So tell me, is it at all possible that Melbourne played better than Hawthorn?
It is definitely possible. Yes, it is definitely possible. In fact, I have to say they played exceptionally well. Like, they just very clean movement of the ball. They seemed to want it and were hungry to win. They look great.
I did read a lot from away. I think I messaged you all at one point and said, is it wrong to be checking footy scores in the something or other cathedral?
I said it would be wrong not to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But
Moddy, that's what cathedrals are for.
It sounds like... totally. It sounds like that Melbourne has got it coming together at the right time and sort of 5 years of planning as well, isn't it? Those people like Petrarca and stuff have really...
Yeah, and look, I'm on the demon train now. I'd love to see them go all the way.
I am buying the dream. Yeah. I am buying what they are selling.
Four, that's who you're going for?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a bit like, that team that won last year that I don't like to talk about or the Bulldogs in 2016, There's a bit of something you can get behind.
Yeah.
For a team that hasn't won for a while, I think there's always a bit of good feeling.
So good on Melbourne.
Good on Melbourne. Get on the D's train. Hope they go all the way. Hope they at least beat West Coast this week. Now, the Pies versus Giants, I have to admit I fell asleep at half time.
I watched the whole game. I stayed awake. Look at me. Goodness.
The Cabana must have had caffeine in it.
So with only 10 points separating them, was it a close game?
It was probably a good game, I thought, for the first maybe quarter and a half. But after that, Collingwood just sort of, took over and that was that.
But still Giants stayed within 10 points.
Yeah. I think they had a couple of late goals.
There was a couple of late goals.
Yeah, I think
And Collingwood kicked 9-15.
Because
they said Collingwood, there was a picture on Facebook that said Collingwood won by 10 behinds and it had a picture of their bums, 10 bums.
Well, you're not going to win prelims by kicking 9-15, are you?
Well, no, Collingwood in the first quarter had something like 20, stuffing up the stats, but it was something like 20 inside 50s for one goal three or something. Like, they just weren't converting their opportunities. But The one that stood out was De Goeie. I mean, amazing. After a controversial personal start to the season, shall we say. He's really kind of, and the club signing him, like he's really repaying their faith in him, I think. You've got to kind of give it to him.
Earlier in the year when they were talking, you know, about him going to other clubs and being signed for a fortune, I couldn't believe it, but makes sense now.
Mm. Now, the VFL, they played their prelim on the weekend. I watched it. It was on Channel 7. The Hawks won by 1 point, but Williamstown had the ball 10 seconds to go, missed after the siren, so we won. And then the VFLW Cats beat minor premiers Collingwood in the VFLW.
Yeah, I went to that game. That was a not a bad game.
That's right. So we're going to talk to Emma Mackey, captain of or co-captain of the Hawthorn football VFLW team in just a moment here on Cheeks Talking Footy.
Hi, this is Paddy Hill from Hawthorn VFLW. You're listening to Cheeks Talking Footy on Joy.
No, Paddy Hill, what a hero he is at the moment. And we have a very special guest from the Hawthorn VFLW team, captain of the team, Emma Mackey. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy, Emma.
Hi. I wasn't expecting to hear Paddy's voice first up.
I know, he's there to haunt you. Now, congratulations, Emma, first of all, on making the VFLW Grand Final. What's the vibe like around the club at the moment with that coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I've literally just come off the track with the girls, so just finished one of our main training sessions tonight. And, yeah, vibes are very good, so very positive. I think grand final week is always a pretty exciting time to be around the club. So, yeah, everyone's pretty excited and up and about and just a good place to be at the moment.
And is there going to be a parade, BYO Ute, in Box Hill?
I think they're talking about blocking off one of the streets here, I think. So, you know.
Station Street, let's go.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Sausage sizzles, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, Emma, how much training do you do in a week before? Is it very light? Do you just sort of take it easy?
Yeah, I think depending on how you're probably coming into the grand final, I think it would change for everybody. Because we had the weekend off, so we didn't play on the weekend. You know, we've had to change it up probably just a little bit just to make sure that we're still ticking, you know, some of those Ks over in our legs and we're still moving. So it stays fairly similar. But again, you know, maybe if we played on the weekend and it was a hard game, we might have changed a few things up leading into this week. But it stayed fairly similar, to be honest. We haven't changed too much. We went out and did a training on the weekend when the other teams were playing, you know, just to make sure, again, like I said, just to keep things normally we would be playing on the weekend. So we've tried to keep it as normal as possible.
Now, Emma, this year the team's gone from, I think it was 3 wins last year up to only losing 2 games this year. What do you think's responsible for the turnaround?
I think a number of things. I mean, last year it was a different team. You know, it was a brand new team coming into the VFL season. We probably didn't have as much strength across the board as what we've got this year, but we also have had time to develop a lot of those girls that we were able to bring across from the team last year that we've got in the team this year. Like, they've had that pre-season from last year, the whole season, you know, to really develop. And we've got some girls that have come across from the team last year that are, you know, leaders in the team this year. So I think it's a mix of things. We've recruited really well. We've been able to bring in a mix of girls that have really just added strengths into our team in different areas that I think we were lacking last year. I think if you watched us last year, you would have seen a different team from the start of the year to the end of the year. And I think we've just continued to build on that. So, yeah, and like I said, adding in a couple of girls that have come from some AFL teams and some of that leadership, you know, a couple of more older girls that have been able to bring some of that leadership has just really helped as well.
So on that, I'm gathering you're meeting people like Sarah Perkins and Meg Hutchins and Burrito Randall. So are they, is it odd when they come into your team that you were playing against them last year and now you're playing with them? Well, you were playing against them with the Bulldogs, weren't you?
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's a really funny thing, and I get asked that question. I've actually thought about that before too as well. You know, what's it going to be like when you're playing in a VFL team, then you go to AFL, and then you're playing against girls that you were playing with. But I think what we've been able to really do really well this year is kind of just start our journey together from the start of the season as a team this year. Like, we've reflected on last year, you know, and that team that started off last year, but we haven't kind of really talked about it too much of like, oh, the team last year, we only won 3 games, and now we're going into a grand final this year. It's nice to look at that, but the team this year is a completely different team, and we've started our own journey at the start of the season. So we've tried to make it our own journey with the girls that we've got on the team here. But it is always a little bit challenging, I guess you could say, when you do come up against some girls that sometimes you play with, that you're playing against. But we seem to have made it work really well.
Yeah, and look, I've gone down with the Hawks Pride group a couple of times and watched some of the women's games. In fact, I watched the Hawks Geelong game a few weeks ago at Box Hill. Yeah. And to me, the standard of football was just so exciting to watch. And it just sort of made me feel like, why aren't we making the VFLW a national league? And it's already playing alongside the men's league. A lot of the same players that play AFLW are playing. Why, you know, is that the future, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what to talk. This issue, I think, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. I've said that before as well. And I think the VFL competition, the VFLW competition, has just grown so much, even from, you know, the last couple of years. Mm. That, you know, why aren't we making that the main season? And why aren't we, you know, you've already got the season and the structure, and we're playing with the men as well. And, you know, why aren't we focusing on that? And, yeah, I don't know. So, to me, that makes a little bit more sense than what they're trying to do at the moment. But, it does confuse me a little bit with on what they're trying to squeeze into a small amount of time, and then, you know, then we come back and we play a longer season, and you know, we play at Etihad in the grand final and stuff like that as well, which is amazing. So it's great, and I'll take it. But it's so it's, I've asked the same question, so I don't know.
Well, we're going to start an online petition.
Yeah.
Emma, is a premiership what it's going to take for the AFL to give the Hawks an AFLW licence, or what more do you need to do?
I hope so. I think that's probably one thing that we've been, I guess I say that we're out to make a point or to prove something, but it's probably not just that. But yeah, I think we like to kind of know that winning the grand final would probably obviously have to be something that's really big in the AFL's face, kind of just saying, you know what, maybe we should be listening or looking at Hawthorn and the program that they've put together, and, you know, they are really serious, and they're serious about continuing it on as well. So I hope so. It'd be nice.
But if it does work that way, then surely they just, your team as an existing team just becomes, you know, just goes straight in rather than having to create a team.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's probably like Geelong. Geelong have taken a lot of the girls that they would have developed through their VFL side that will play in their AFL women's team. But I think like any AFL women's team as well, you'd still probably be looking to recruit, you know, bring in strength where you might need to as well, or balance that out. But, they've definitely got a good starting block here.
Now, who will you go back to the Bulldogs for AFLW?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So it's weird. Weird how you have to split. There's the way we're talking to you now is a lot of we about Hawthorn, and then if we talk to you in 6 months' time, it'll be we, but it'll be about the Bulldogs.
Just don't give away any of our secrets, Emma.
I won't. Don't worry. I'm very loyal to both sides, but it is interesting, isn't it? And I think that's probably what makes it a little bit unique at the moment, is that we do have, you know, these two competitions running at different times. So it's full credit to some of the girls that have been doing it since the whole time, like that the AFL was started. It's quite challenging playing a VFL women's season, having a month off, and then starting up for AFL and starting that season, and then, you know, coming back in and playing VFL. So how much longer that can keep going on for, I think eventually, I mean, I would be thinking that they'd be looking at running the seasons together like they do with the men. So, I mean, that's what I would be hoping. And, I think that's what the girls are hoping for.
Now, Emma, a bit later in the show, we're going to be chatting to Kate Darby from Geelong. Have you got any trash talk you want us to pass on to her? Or?
No, I'm not very good at trash talk. But, you know, we'll just leave it for out on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just tell her you said Kate Darby, no good.
The playing.
Yeah. Kate Darby, no good. Well, we like to keep it balanced on the show, although I am a mad Hawk supporter, so I'll be there on Sunday. I believe the game starts at 12:30, so get down to Etihad. We're literally going to be there watching you play Geelong and then the men play Casey. It's a big day for Hawks fans.
It is a big day. So all the Hawks fans should be getting down there nice and early.
That's right. So good luck to the team, and thanks for chatting to us on Chicks Talking Footy. And
thanks, girl.
We'll trash Kate for you in a minute.
Thanks, Emma. Emma, good luck.
Keep it PC.
Thanks, Emma. Bye.
Hi, it's Gerald Rector, CEO of Vic Health, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Beck, and I'm here with Motti and Fiona. Now, it is finals time, and at the moment, we've got a huge focus on the VFLW Grand Final this weekend. And joining us on the line is Geelong superstar Kate Darby. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an exciting time of year.
It really is. Now, we just finished talking to Emma Mackey, the Hawks captain, and we asked her if she had any trash talk she wanted us to pass on to you. And she was actually very polite. She said it was all going to be out on the ground and all polite off the ground.
Oh, there you go. So saving it for the field then.
That's right. So she's, goodness knows what might happen.
She's actually a nice person.
Yeah,
but we've got her number. We've got her number. So if you want us to pass some trash talk back to her, we're more than happy to do that for you.
We're trying to mock up a rivalry that's just not there at the moment.
Oh, look, I'm sure that wouldn't be too difficult having Hawthorn and Geelong. Oh. That's already a known one, isn't it?
We expect some broken ribs, punctured lungs and people to keep playing with them. Just for tradition's sake.
Oh, well, I've done that before, so okay, I've got to do it again, but if need be.
Now, Kate, it was a pretty, well, I guess in the end, an easy win against the Pies on the weekend. I came down and watched that game, and Geelong was, I would have thought, pretty good right from the word go. How did it feel coming away with the win and heading into the grand final?
Yeah, oh, look, I wouldn't say easy. Final win's never easy, but we did feel, you know, we really had the belief going into the game, regardless as to everything with the ladder positions and all the talk beforehand, because, you know, we have belief in our team and our what we can do. But yeah, we were just on from the get-go, and the tackle pressure, I think, made it really difficult for them to do anything too much towards the start of the game. They did get a little bit of run towards the end, but yeah, we were lucky that it was probably too little too late, and yeah, we were lucky to come away with the win, and there's just a lot of excitement going on around it.
Well, what is the feel around the club in grand final week?
Oh, it's been fantastic. With all the, so I'm lucky enough to work at the club as well, and just walking through, and all the staff are just buzzing, and everyone's really getting around it. You know, we've seen a fair few of the boys as well, and they're all really excited, and a couple of them made the effort to get down to the game on the weekend, and obviously this is their time to take a bit of time off, but they've really been getting around the team as well. And as you can imagine, the girls are floating through the air at the moment. So, no, it's a really good feeling.
Yeah, it's Fee Newton here. It's, you know, a lot of the clubs that we've been talking to, there seems to be a real feel of three teams, one club now with, you know, the VFL teams and the VFLW teams and the AFL. Is that true at Geelong as well, the women being well accepted down the Cattery?
Oh, absolutely. From the get-go as well. Like, so when I came down last season, just the way that the club, like, I know as well, we're a little bit further away from Melbourne, and I think the club's really got, like, a community aspect to it, and that just has made us, we're a really united family down there, and we see the guys all the time. We share the gym and we share the recovery facilities, and they're really good with all that sort of stuff, and they know how we're going. And to be walking through the cafe and they have Gary or Joel come up and ask, you know, they know how you've gone on the weekend and things like that, just really shows that they actually do care about the team. It's not just putting a face on for media, which is really fantastic. Good feeling.
Yeah, well done to all the clubs that are embracing, you know, the new teams and things like that, because it is important. Are you local from Geelong? Is that where you grew up?
So I'm locally from Macedon, but I've been in Torquay Geelong area for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So before I started playing footy, yeah.
Yeah, local enough, exactly.
So yeah. I guess, Kate, one of the really exciting things, I mean, aside from the grand final, is looking to next year and the Cats entering the AFLW. How excited are you about playing in that team?
Yeah, look, obviously all of our thoughts at the moment have just been for this weekend, but that is a really exciting thing. And Geelong have done absolutely everything right to earn that licence. And I think the way that they've built their VFL program, and they're going to, you know, push that through into the AFL season as well. I know, and I already trust so much of what they do and how they've run their program and how they are just going onwards and upwards with their women's program. And it's just a really exciting aspect. Obviously, you know, having a successful season this year with the VFLW is just a great lead into the season. But no, there's big things to come, and it's a really good time to be part of it.
Got a couple of good players into the team with Mel Hickey and with Rocky Cranston and, you know, a few others. That must give it a bit of a lift around the club too.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, we've got the input of some girls that have been around footy for a long time, and obviously, you know, women's footy is picking up massively now, but, you know, it's still quite rare to find girls who have been involved with the sport for, you know, around a decade. And so we're lucky to have people coming through with a real mature knowledge of the game and just the insight and the aspect that will help not only, you know, people like myself who might be a little bit older but have only played for a couple of years, but then we've got our young ones coming through as well. And I think it'd be a really good mix. And, you know, obviously all the ones that I know so far, everyone's getting along really well, which helps the team too.
I mean, it's not a bad time in history to be a women's footballer, is it?
Oh, not at all. It's pretty crazy. It's always, you know, it's something we're gonna be able to take with us throughout our whole lives. When it's, you know, when it's just so big, it's the normal thing to just think as to how it all came about. And, you know, we were lucky enough to be a part of it all coming through is really special.
Yeah, actually something we talked about with Emma too. I mean, I watched the Hawks Geelong game a couple of weeks ago, and I tell you what, the standard of women's football is just growing and growing and growing, and it was such an exciting game to watch. And we said to her, you know, surely the VFLW is the next thing, that the AFLW and will just become the VFLW on a national level, because you're already playing alongside the men's league. You've got all the top players playing in that league. Why not just make it the actual thing? Would you agree?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Yeah, and as you say, like the skills of the game and everything is picking up so fast. It's and I think it's purely the numbers as well coming through underneath. So I know down in this region this year we had an unbelievable amount of women's teams all start up just this season, and the numbers just keep going. And so obviously when you've got more people playing, then the skill level is going to pick up, and you know those teams are going to be just getting stronger and stronger. And as you say, the competition, like if you were to watch the a few of the games from this year and compare them even just to last year, the difference is crazy. And it's a really exciting thing. And obviously getting more exciting games gets more people to the games, which then builds the league again. And it's only getting more positive.
And everything we hear from people who work in women's football is that the skill level is just getting better and better, because the younger girls have had a clear path of playing football. They didn't have to stop like a lot of the older girls did.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, you know, that's exactly what I had to do. I unfortunately had to stop after my last football grand final I was in when I was 11. And then you've got girls that were lucky enough to have a really good partnership with the Geelong Falcons. And the Falcons girls are coming through, and they've played, you know, they've played years more of football than what I have.
Mm.
And to be able to see that it's just a natural thing for them, and, you know, their natural football movement rather than having to come cross code, or just little things that, you know, gives them that really special ability. And it's really exciting for things to come. I'm probably pretty lucky I got in when I did, because, you know, watching the 14, 15-year-olds coming through, I'd be
pushing to get a game once they're old enough.
Yeah, well, look, if there had been a pathway, who knows, we could have been AFL stars.
Yeah, we could have.
But we'll sit around and talk about football instead.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been. I can be honest now. I can tell you I wouldn't have been. But, I mean, I guess what you're saying, Kate, is that once there's more people coming through, then the competition for positions in the team is greater, and therefore hopefully the standard lifts all across the board.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's really good competition for, like, in our squad at the moment. Like, some of the players that are missing out played a lot of our games last year, which is, it's obviously, you know, it's a hard thing when that is happening, but it's also an exciting thing for the actual competition to know that it is just getting stronger and stronger by the moment, and the young ones coming through are a really big part of that, and knowing that they've got year levels and year levels and age groups and everything underneath them all coming through as well. There's just going to be waves and waves of more talent, which is really exciting.
Now, Kate, tell us your secrets. How are you going to beat the Hawks on the weekend?
Oh, don't give away all our secrets.
Just a few.
No, look, I think it's going to be like, no, there's no doubt it's going to be a really tough game. As you said, you were at the last one, and it was quite a hard game to play in. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see how each team goes with the pressure. Obviously, on Etihad, there wouldn't be any, if many at all, girls that have played there, and obviously grand final nerves. But I think we just really need to bring our own game. If we can do our own game and bring that same pressure that we had with Collingwood, we, you know, really give ourselves a good chance and see how we go.
Well, unfortunately, Kate, I'll be there cheering for the Hawks on Sunday. But
I'll be going to the Cats.
That's okay. I did see that you're a Hawks supporter, but we've got a few coming down.
Yeah,
so, no, it should be very exciting.
I reckon get down there just to support women's football, because it's such an exciting thing to see the grand final at Etihad.
And then you stay on and watch the boys too. I mean, it obviously won't be as exciting to watch the men's team, but
apparently
still.
Men play football, so that's weird. So,
I just heard that.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks so much, Kate, for coming on Chicks Talking Footy. I'd love to say good luck, but...
I will.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
I'll leave that to Monty.
Play well.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay.
But congratulations.
And, cheers, then.
We'll chat to you another time.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Hi, I'm Peggy O'Neill, president of the Richmond Football Club, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
I had to put that in because we had to put some Richmond in the show.
Oh, look, very collegiate.
They are actually playing finals.
This is Chicks Talking Footy.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is Motti, and there's Beck and Fee as well.
That's right. And good to have you back, Motti.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
I like your style. I like Motti's style.
Do you?
You bring a flair to the show.
Well, I've got a lovely scarf around me from, you know, around my neck from London.
You're so European.
Mm.
Woo!
Anyway, I'm very glad to be back for finals. And I love this particular weekend as well. If I would go to the Tigers Pies if it wasn't a work day, because I'd have to line up, you know, 7 hours before or something.
Who's interested?
Yeah, and look, not even Pies and Richmond supporters could get tickets, so.
It's full on, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's always outrage, but the ground only holds so much, so.
I think what the outrage comes in too, though, that people that aren't supporters get some preference over seats.
No,
but not in these games. Not in these preliminaries. It's the grand final for sure, but the preliminaries often are the two teams. I went to Richmond GWS last year because I just thought I just want to see what it is like, what the Tiger Army are like, and it was unbelievable because it was 90,000 Richmond supporters and
5,000
two GWS people.
There's been a lot of outrage. I mean, how unlike the internet to have outrage this week, but people have been complaining about the people who have the three-game memberships getting tickets and people who have full-year memberships don't. But I just think, like, if you've got a membership, you've got a membership. Not everyone can afford a membership for a whole year. It doesn't mean you're any less of a passionate supporter.
I thought you weren't. I thought as you went up in levels of membership, the access to different things was higher. I know Brie has a top level, so she has access to a ticket. But a three-game membership, I thought that's all you got.
No, they get access that's to the whole thing. Finals ticket.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some friends of mine had Kennedy membership and couldn't get level one tickets, and I got them really easily, and I've got general admission.
Oh, okay.
But I don't
Well, don't say that out loud.
I don't know. I might be a bit
I just said that to the universe.
I might be a bit egalitarian about it, but I just think, you know, a membership's not financially, a whole season membership's not financially viable to everyone. It doesn't mean you're less of a supporter.
No, it doesn't. Yeah,
should
exactly
you get less,
right.
You know. I don't know. Anyway, that's just, I'm Bechdel and that's my take.
Yeah. Well done, Bechdel. But
solving the world's problems.
Yes.
The Tigers are, their army is marching, and they've got all their battle songs, and they're really comfortable with themselves, would you say?
That's right.
And their position.
There's other words for that, but yes, I know what you're saying. Look, and they should. I mean, the Tigers. It looks hard to see how they're going to be beaten.
It does.
What a cracker game, though. Like, these are two of the clubs with the biggest, most passionate supporter bases in the world. I just think that atmosphere on Friday night is going to be out of control.
It really will. And look, you know, don't write Collingwood off. I think they're contenders for sure.
Now, I think they are. I mean, I think they can
win at the MCG like anyone. So.
That's right. Everything has to, in finals, everything is a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a great leveller.
It is. And I think Richmond on paper should easily win, but they just need, you know, Collingwood just need a couple of players to play out of their skin and they could beat them.
Well, I think Collingwood, I was listening to a podcast with Scott Pendlebury on the way here, so I may have subconsciously, ooh. I know, I love Scott Pendlebury, I may have subconsciously drunk the Collingwood Kool-Aid, but there seems to be a lot of faith in that team and a lot of players coming good at the right time, and they had a lot of injuries and a lot of those players are coming back at the right time. Mm. Treloar's got a couple of games under his belt. Howe's got a couple of games under his belt. You know, what's his name with the 6-month knee? Why can't I think of his name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Greenwood?
No, I'll get back to
6-month knee.
Side bottom.
No, anyway. Look,
I'm just mentioning Pies players. I don't know.
See,
who
we don't.
And we are a professional.
I know.
Outfit.
And
professional,
they've got
journalists.
Mason Cox, who, whatever you think about his abilities, he is 25 foot tall.
Mm.
And he's still going to be able to put those.
Tyson Goldsack.
Mm. He is still going to be able to put those big arms up and take a mark.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, he can do that
and
for sure.
Brody Grundy rucks like a maniac.
Mm, and you don't mind how he looks?
Don't mind a bit of Brody Grundy.
He's been brilliant this year.
Hasn't he?
Really has. Really, really has. So I
put it all down to Buck's beard.
Well, yeah, you're not alone.
Mm. I'm very pro that beard.
Yeah, I think it's a popular move, the beard.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get into footy suspicions, well, maybe he should
there
keep
you
the
go.
Beard.
So
that'll be a cracker. Friday night.
Thoughts?
Look, Pies for me, but I'm an emotionally ruined by Richmond, so I'm not the person to ask.
Yeah, look, I would tip Richmond, but hoping for Collingwood, just for the footy story of it.
I mean, isn't that unbelievable that people are actually going
for
Collingwood?
I know, that is actually true, isn't it? Wash my mouth out with soap.
Richmond, it's already been announced that Swan Street will be closed after the grand final, should Richmond win to avoid the disasters of last year when they were rioting almost up and down Swan Street. So that's pretty smug, isn't it? It's pretty smug that the council...
Pretty presumptuous.
Yeah, the council have gone, yes, we'll cancel it.
Yeah, Richmond's already been painted Tigers everywhere.
And Mick Molloy was, you know, turned on the lights at the Richmond Town Hall last night. They're all yellow and black, the whole thing.
I mean, points for confidence.
Exactly. Let's move on. To Eagles Melbourne.
Now, Melbourne beat Eagles only, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Over there?
Over
here?
There.
Yeah, the last
did they?
Round.
Yeah, it was the second last round, I think.
Oh,
or round 21, one of those. And they beat them at Optus Stadium. So it can be done. It's
oh,
really
that
possible.
Makes a real difference. I didn't realise that. Mm. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Well, so you have to watch football within the last 4 weeks to know that.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well.
But a lot of Melbourne supporters are actually flying to Perth.
I love it. Do you know what? That gives me such a thrill.
Yeah.
When I hear people doing that, so a guy from work, I saw him today. I said, "Are you going?" And it was like, "Yeah,
duh."
Yeah, and I just thought, that's amazing.
I mean, some of the prices, though, they've been scary to see. Mm. How much it could cost you to fly from Melbourne to Perth.
Someone's going, I read one lady's going via Singapore.
Yeah.
And she's going to have overnight in Singapore and then fly down to Perth, and then she's got a direct flight back. And that whole thing was cheaper than the flights that she was able to access.
Well, I remember that when Fremantle was in the grand final, a lot of people did the same thing then too. They went via Singapore.
Mm. Well, there's a transit hotel. Yeah, you can swim up bar.
Swim up bar.
Yeah, you pay $15. I always stopped in Singapore when I went to London because you can pay $15, go into a swim up bar, have a shower.
Look at you living your best life.
I know. Really? And then get back on the plane and you've had a shower. You feel clean.
That's I thought I was a smarty pants just paying money to go access a lounge at the airport.
Oh.
I'll be under the swim up bar next for sure with a bit of a Mai Tai.
Mate, I used to pack my bathers in the backpack, run down there when the
you
plane
You guys added. Know we're still on air, yeah?
Oh, yeah, sorry. And we are. Do you know that we're talking about football?
So,
anyway, so let's look, get people back to are doing the long trips around to go to Perth. but I reckon Melbourne can win that one. That's my
look. I don't think they can, but I'd like them to.
Yeah.
That's right. So why don't you? Why don't you think they can? Because the Eagles are the Eagles, and it's all the way over
the
there.
The cauldron.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, here's some things GF-wise. Collingwood versus Melbourne last played in the grand final in 1958. Richmond versus Melbourne 1940, and Eagles have played neither. I don't think in a grand final. So it'll be interesting. Whatever happens, won't it?
Apparently, Janae, being a Dockers supporter over in WA, she's just having to not look at the media because it's just all, as she calls it, wet toast.
She's so funny about that, isn't she?
Well, it's like Port Adelaide and the Crows. You don't want to hear about how, you know, the Port Adelaide.
Oh, no, the 2007 grand final was the best of my life.
They lost by 100.
Yeah, that was great. The enemy of the enemy is my friend.
That's what's been good about the Hawks losing the finals is also Geelong and Sydney have too.
Yeah, so you're in bad company.
Tell me you two. Beck, you were in a position last year of great excitement, and Fee, you have been for about 10 years with your bloody team. What does it feel like going into these last 2 weeks without your teams involved?
Look, I'm trying to give her tiny rats, but it's hard.
Is it?
But then I hear a story like today, I was thinking about Melbourne and I got excited for their supporters and I was like, yeah, maybe I can feel something. But it's different when it's not your own team.
I wouldn't be that excited if it was West Coast playing, to be honest. No.
I've got the VFLW and the VFL to look forward to.
Oh,
so.
God, how many times is she going to tell us that tonight?
We're one club, three teams.
Yeah, but that's over this Sunday.
But it's still something that, you know, I've got energy behind. I'm watching, I'm looking at social media, trying to figure out what's going on. And
well, you've got the Brownlow Monday night as well, of course.
Oh, that's fun. We do like that.
Well, Tommy Mitchell's a good chance for that too. So.
Oh, my God, someone else from Hawthorn.
Exactly. Blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, what I'm saying is the finals aren't devoid of something.
Oh, you're listening to Chicks Talking Hawthorn.
Maxi Gorn might win that.
Hope he does.
So who else?
He could win that, actually, because he sweeped the, was it the Player Association Award?
I don't know, one of those.
He's won a few awards already.
Cripps has got a lot of good votes, but as Beck said earlier, off air, hard to win in a crap team.
That's what I reckon. That's a direct quote.
Mate, that was so articulate. It's unbelievable.
And let's face it, Carlton are crap and are probably going to be crap for another 15 years.
Mm. It's quite
possible. Can I tell you the odds for the Brownlow?
Yes, please.
Tom Mitchell, $1.62.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Dustin Martin, Max Gorn, Patrick Cripps, Brody Grundy, Dane Beams, Clayton Oliver, Jackson McRae, Elliot Yeo, Patrick Dangerfield. Oh, we're getting low down the list here. Roy Laird. Well, that'd be smoky.
Dangerfield is not close.
No.
Sorry, mate, you've got to read that out. You can't just look at your phone and go, no.
We are on air, Beck.
It's all about Tom Mitchell and Gorn.
Yeah, I reckon. But there's one thing I want to talk to you about too, Beckdale.
Is it personal?
Is the South Australian Football
League. The SANFL.
Well, that's dinner party. So we've merged into the dinner
table.
We have,
but we've only got a couple of minutes left, so we'll talk about that one first.
Okay, well, it's called Why Can People Not Count to 18? So in the SANFL prelim final on Sunday between the North Adelaide Roosters and the Woodville West Torrens Eagles, it was a cracker game. The Eagles were up by 37 points in the third quarter and the Roosters came back to win by 5 points, but drama ensued, my friends. Drama ensued. What was discovered was that North had an extra player on the field for almost 4 minutes. During that 4 minutes, they kicked one goal too, so not really worth it. But what then happened was a whole kind of cacophony of things where I'm not sure the SANFL quite knew what to do with them, but the Eagles protested to the SANFL, who referred the controversy to the league's independent one-man tribunal, who is a retired judge. His view was that the best outcome would be a rematch of the game, but he didn't have the power to do that. So he allowed North to have the win. But he fined them $10,000, which is the maximum penalty, which isn't really that much for a whole club, I didn't think, and also docked the club 4 premiership points, which in the SANFL is 2 wins for next season. So do we think that's the right outcome, yes or no?
Well, so they're allowed to play the grand final.
Yep.
Well, you have, what do you think?
I'm torn because I'm the part of me thinks it was inadvertent. It wasn't a cheating.
Has to be inadvertent, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't like they did something that was, you know, they didn't sandpaper the ball or something. So,
for example.
Yeah, for example. So should they lose the ability to play in a grand final for that? But then there's another part of me that says, well, the rules are the rules, and if you don't play by the rules, then maybe you should lose.
What was the final score of that match?
It's only 5 points.
Okay, see, I reckon that makes a huge difference.
But nothing was scored during the time.
I thought you said one goal two.
One goal two.
Oh, during the 5 minutes that there was. Oh, yeah. Okay.
They may not have. Yeah. Ooh. That's scary. It's been hugely controversial.
I mean, they came down from 47 points down in the third quarter. So it was a huge comeback. It was nearly a 10-goal comeback.
And when was the misdemeanor?
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's been massively controversial.
So yeah, I think that's. I think maybe they should.
Could have gone either way, couldn't it?
I think maybe they shouldn't be allowed to play.
You wouldn't be happy if you were the Eagles, would you?
I think 4 minutes is long. You know, sometimes you've seen it in the AFL and there's been like, 10 seconds, there was an extra, and you go, okay, that's just confusion. But 4 minutes is a long time.
But
no one would have realised had this commentator not said something.
But then what was the people that run the North bench thinking? Like, surely they realised there was one person missing on their own bench, you know, the bench man or whatever their name is.
Unless someone had gone downstairs for injuries.
That's probably not the way to count it.
Anyway, look, North's free to play in the grand final this week.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting.
Will there be booing? Because in Adelaide, I've noticed there's lots of booing.
Oh, everyone boos. Don't pick on Adelaide.
Oh, I don't know about that. Anyway, in a moment, we're going to come back with a bit of community notice board here on Chicks Talking Footy.
Hi, Phil Davis here from the Giants, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy.
I like to play that just for you, Beck.
Thank you. I am a big fan of Phil Davis.
Yeah, we had Phil Davis on the show while you were absent.
I know. Has he got a good voice?
Yes,
he was a great chap.
So it matches with his good looks.
The man can do no wrong.
But he was very generous with his time and very great to chat to. Now, I wanted to continue one thing about the dinner table.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk about Twitter outrage. Yeah, exactly. I think, the AFLW fixture was announced and has been not well received.
No.
To have a conference system. The general vibe is why not have 10 weeks and everyone play, or 9 weeks and everyone play each other, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I think a lot of people disagree with that decision. That's fine, and that's everyone's prerogative. I guess I just want to voice my opinion that Twitter outrage is not a constructive approach. I think what we've got to do is get down and watch games and drag as many people as you can down to watch the games, because I think when people start to watch women's football, they'll be actually quite impressed.
Support the competition.
And support the competition. And then the AFL has no choice but to keep supporting its growth. That's my thing.
I don't think there's been enough explanation as to why they chose to do the conference unless I've missed it, from the AFL. They just announced, this is what we're doing and here's the team that put it together and we chose this. But they didn't say, we looked into all these other ways. I think they could have saved themselves a lot of grief if they just explained a bit better.
And I agree with that. I do agree with that. I just think getting on Twitter and, you know, creating that kind of outrage, and that's not just football, that's life, you know. There's often just this outrage that goes on, and then from both sides there's outrage, and then there's no real constructive discussion around it and consultation around anything, so whether it's football or something else.
And people lose the ability to actually see something with clarity because they're too busy trying to, you know, write 210 characters of, you know, venom.
Yeah. Exactly. So I reckon get down to those games, and best opportunity you've got, let's try and get as many people to Etihad on Sunday.
Speak with your feet. Isn't that what they say? Wasn't there some song? Vote with your feet.
And run with your hands.
Now, what is it if your nose is running and your feet smell, you'll be upside down? Mm. Yeah, there you go. Molly's still letting that sink in.
The jet lag's coming back. I can't understand what you're talking about.
But where's the game going to be streamed? It's not on Channel 7.
I know it's on Geelong's... Geelong are streaming it on their website. I haven't checked Hawthorn, but I presume they'd be doing the same.
And maybe the VFL website as well?
Yeah, perhaps. Let's look into that and we can pop that on our tweeters
or
something.
We'll post that on our socials this week.
But get down to Eddie Hats. This is where you're going to start your grassroots support of women's football.
12:30 Sunday.
Bechdel for PM.
Yes. Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd vote.
I'd vote.
Phil Davis would vote.
He would vote for sure.
So follow us on the socials. We're four followers short of 1,000 people following us on Twitter. Aww. There you go.
Really?
So get your friends on board. And we're on Insta, Chicks Talking Footy, and Facebook as well. Subscribe to our podcast so you can listen to us every week in the car as you walk around. We'll see you next week on Chicks Talking Footy for the grand final preview show.
Go Dees.
Go Hawks.
Go Bombers.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.